Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to our January 14th, The Man's Voice. The show today should be very interesting because there's so many things going on out in the world, and we want to talk about those things. But I want to say hello to the panelists make sure everyone is. I'm pressing some buttons here. Somebody just texted me and said, "Where's the?" So if you didn't get the click, you should have gotten it. If you're listening on. I see people listening on the internet, but anyway, so some people need a click, so I just sent out another one, so we should be good. If you didn't get one, look for it now, it should be there. And if you hear some conversation going on the show and you would like to get involved, just call us at 646-668-8740. So hello, guys, and I want to start with something a little not political. There's so much politics going on, and I'm going to get to them, but I think we'll start with something not just a little bit to give men who are listening some ideas. The first one is, I don't know if everybody realized that election that was recently held, California completely legalized marijuana. And as such, it sparked a $20.2 billion industry in California alone, and there is only about three different little companies that will be supplying, but these three companies are doing investments at $1 and $2 now. And so I think, first of all, if you have some dollars, this is a good investment to make if it doesn't bother your conscience about investing in legalized marijuana. But what do you think about that, Ron? What do you think about legalized marijuana? And California just legalized the whole industry.
Is it? It's not medical. It's for leisure, also, David.
Yes, medical and leisure.
Okay, I honestly don't have anything against it. I've heard over and over repeatedly. People drink and people buy beer, and that's legal. And you could actually get more intoxicated by drinking a six pack than you can by smoking a joint. I personally don't smoke. I have in the past. I think most Americans have, and most or a lot of people around the world probably have. And I think there's really I don't see anything particularly wrong with it. I know in the past it's been taboo, like many things, but times change, and just like cigarette smoking, it was popular and it was glamorized in the past, and now it's the opposite because it's killing people. And I smoked for over 20 years, and I'm dealing with the consequences now. So I don't really see that much of a problem with it. I personally don't have a problem with it.
Is there anybody on the panel that thinks that this is wrong? Anybody?
Well, this is Bruce. I wouldn't say wrong until I speak my piece, and my thought is this: I don't agree totally with you, Ron, but I'm not totally negative. What I would like to see, and I'm in Michigan, is that even though alcohol has been out there forever, there's still a lot of people that use alcohol and alcoholic beverages that don't know squat about how it affects us. Same thing with marijuana. It would be nice if somehow an independent source could let us know to the best of their ability the pros and the cons of marijuana, recreational and medicinal, or at least the recreational aspect of it, so that I and many, many others, whether they want to admit it or not, would be more informed on how it affects us before we make a decision. I don't want to make an emotional decision. I want to make an informed decision. So that would be my stand. I'm not against it or for it until I know more. And, yes, I could try and learn that all on my own, and I have. But I think if someone that's an authoritative resource on this could give us some basics on that, people would make a much more informed decision for their own lifestyle.
You don't think that's the many years that marijuana has been out there and all the things that have happened, because they've been analyzing it for 50 years, I would think. And now there is a product out here that's doesn't have the THC in it. It's a liquid you put under your tongue, and now it's been legalized in all 50 states. You don't think they've already done that?
No. Is it available, David? Yes. Have they put it in a place, and we tend to get a little lazy, I guess, in the fact that give it to me straight in one spot I can go to, fresh in my mind now to make a decision. They have not done that. Maybe they don't want to do that, but they have not done that.
The only question I have, go ahead, whoever that was, go ahead.
It's Ron. I was just going to say, I think there have been numerous studies. It's just maybe something that, again, because this has been taboo in the past, you don't see it in the news when you watch the news or anything like that. But I bet if you Google it, I bet tons of information is going to come up. I haven't personally done
that. Oh, that's true.
Hey, David.
Yes, Frank.
May I say something? Yes,
sure.
May I say something? You asked the question. I'm not in agreement that it should be legalized. I'm not in agreement to that. I think the medical purpose is, and it is political. I mean, you indicate that it's not political, but it's very political. And in that, the attorney general has notified all the local attorney generals, state attorney generals, to pursue that prosecution of it based on your own thought process, each of the individual localities. So federal government has it as a banned substance, illegal substance, and some states, like California being the one that you brought up this evening, have legalized it. So there's a whole lot of issues in there. Lending monies, if banks lend money to them, will they end up having the feds on their back? That type of process. The other process with the use of it is that as alcohol is bad for us as well, and I agree to that. But the problem with it, you can't get in the armed forces, for instance, if you're using marijuana technically, unless you get a waiver. So there's a lot of issues, social issues, that are going to come up as a result of its use. Now, I'm personally aware, just like John indicated, that a lot of people have used marijuana or tried marijuana, et cetera. But I still think that, and I think it's good for medical purposes, and for those, and there are a lot of people that have medical issues that need to use it. And some of us think we're normal, but we probably do need to use it to chill out. But just widespread use of it like we do alcohol, I don't think it's a good thing.
All right. I just what the bottom line for me was, those who have a few dollars and looking for something to invest in, if it's a $20.2 billion industry in one state alone, you times that by the time all the states get approved, it'd be a mega, you'll be another person with a lot of money. Anyway, the idea was, if you're going to invest in something and you think this might be something, because right now it's like $1 or $2 for an investment, and over a period of time, as soon as it blows up and starts rolling, it's going to easily get to $20. So I would think for those men who are listening who don't have a lot of money but wondered about what would be something to invest in, I would ask you to research this. If it's in your mind, this is something you might want to get involved in. I mean, you could think, I don't even want it anywhere near that, but now that California has legalized it, it's okay to do it in that area. All right, but I want to move on. Bruce, you said you had something you wanted to discuss. What was it?
Yeah, I had dinner with a number of my board members last night on just as a social thing, and somebody brought something up to me I hadn't thought about. Maybe it makes sense that it could happen, but I hadn't really thought about it. One of their friends recently bought the individual devices you can put in your house for Alexis. You know, what do they call those guys?
Smart
homes. Nobody knows. What? At home, you know what I'm talking about. Alexa, do this. Yeah. And the thing that scared me was they have one. They were talking over dinner. They said these devices cord constantly, whether you're asking them a question or not. That's how they gather data about your family or your situation or your environment, let's call it. And the reason they said they knew that that was true, a day later or a couple of days later, they had a conversation with someone else about a particular music artist they just loathed. They didn't like them. They didn't like their music, whatever. But it was a family member that they had talked about and so forth, and or they had brought it up. So they're talking about this, and Alexis pipes in and says, "Would you like me to play music from so-and-so?" And they said, "What?" And they said, "We've never had that music," and so on and so forth. And they found out that because this data is being built, that she thought it was a good idea to refer to that music and play it for them. Has anybody heard anything at all about this continual data gathering that these units do?
The one thing that who said yes? You could go ahead. Go ahead. Somebody else jumped in. Yes.
Yeah, it was Frank. Yeah. I'm mindful of whatever I say anytime you have an electronic device around you, particularly your telephone that you have, and as well as Alexa, because that's how they work. They basically, and if someone wants to invade your privacy for a special reason, legal or illegally, they're going to do it through an electronic device. And it may not even be Alexa. It could be a light bulb or whatever else, because we have smart light bulbs now as well.
Right,
and so all
right.
those are vehicles to collect data, and that's how they operate, okay? And that's like we used to have bugs in the intelligence world that people would plant. And so you can plant any of these devices and make them operate for the benefit of the individual who's interested.
Do you think, though, that something like this kind of device, I tend to agree with you, if not on a paranoid level, but that those gateways are possible. I agree with that. But do you think these devices now, the, quote, smarter and smarter they get, they kind of have to become a family member to be smart in your environment, that they are really gathering data like that on a constant basis? I wonder.
Yeah, it's been published before, months ago, in regard to this, that they do, electronic devices do collect data. So that the extent of it or how much of it, I'm not aware of the volume, but
right.
They are the platform to collect data on an individual.
What do you think, John?
Well, I mean, it's not just that. I've been researching new trucks, and I mean, go on a GM website and price out a new truck, and the whole next week you get nothing on Facebook, but here's GMC trucks, here's the specials and everything, and your GPS is in your vehicles. I mean, I use, I drive probably 200 miles a day. I might be at 10 different houses, and my commute 30 years. The GPS wants to send me in a certain direction in the morning, but I know, and even though it's got traffic on it, I know going a different way is going to be a lot quicker. It might be 2 miles out of the way, and even though I put, specifically to go faster or, shortest route, the GPS will actually, after a few weeks, will learn the quicker ways that I have basically gone, and now it tries to direct me, those ways, the next time I'm punching in that address. So it's not just, those types of things. It's everything out there. And I think a lot of it is because, like Garmin, they offer free upgrade maps. They offer free navigation or free traffic. And that's all able to be free because they pay the advertisers, who then get to turn around and bombard you with ads for the next week.
And may I add one other thing? May I add one other thing, and then I'll shut up. If you're on an Android system, my phone is, and I turn my locator off, supposedly, and I go to various places, run errands or go to a store or somebody's business or something, something will pop up, kind of like what you're saying, John, and say, oh, you were just here. Would you like, and I'm going, wait a minute, your quote, supposedly, I turned the locator off. But, you know, it leads you to believe it's never really off.
Well, that would be probably if you used a if you wanted to have your receipt emailed to you. Your email is, you know, through your Android phone, and that's how they got you.
No, I don't do that. So it's strictly on where I've traveled. Even if I have the quote locator or the map locator device off. So just
well, you are actually tracked. Every time you go on the internet, okay?
Yeah.
So
yeah, every
just
time
like
on Facebook
just,
and everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So just like you were mentioning the ads that you're bombarded with. You know, I get bombarded with stuff like women's shoes because my wife was looking up a certain kind and brand of shoe. So they don't only get there's an ad algorithm that includes me and what she's looking at. So maybe I'm not looking at the right stuff. So my wife's going to get that on her phone as well. Okay.
Boy,
so,
boy.
Yeah,
hey,
I'm very cautious of that. Yeah, because that's the way the system works. So if I look at a set of golf shoes, trust me, I'm going to be seeing golf shoes for the next 60 days. And that's how the people that are running these free sites, the supposedly are free sites, what they're really doing is selling back to the advertiser that they can – pinpoint better advertising to us instead of just general advertising. So if you like guns and you look up one gun, I'm sure that they're not going to forget you for the next year or so.
David?
Yes.
I'd like to dovetail off of this conversation, if I may, for just a few minutes.
Sure.
Particularly on the topic of GPS and tracking where you are and all of that. How many
sure.
of you have heard there's a town in New Jersey called Leonia, I think that's the name of it, and it's right near the George Washington Bridge. I just saw this in the news about a week ago, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And so what happens is the traffic jam gets so clogged up and bogged down to go over the George Washington Bridge if you go the normal route through the highway that Waze and other GPS tracking systems have started rerouting people through Leonia, which is a small town right next to the George Washington Bridge. And so what the town did is they started putting up signs that only people that live in that town can go can drive through the street from like 6 to 8 a.m. and, you know, 4 to 6 to 7 p.m. during rush hours. And so the people that live there are going to have decals now that they put on their cars so nobody else can drive through those streets. And that aggravates the hell out of me because who the
oh,
hell
boy.
Is the mayor of that little town to tell me that I can't drive through that street if I want to?
All right. Well, I didn't.
Anybody
I didn't
have any thoughts on that?
And if it's a, Ron, if it's a public street, that they don't own, which most likely the main thoroughfare is a county or a state business route, they don't have a right to do that, I don't think.
It is. They are all public streets. Look it up. It's unbelievable what they did.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they have a right. I mean, it might be a big bluff, but I don't think they have a legal right to do that.
Well,
yeah,
they can still ticket you. You just have to go to court.
Yeah.
You've got to go to court
true.
And
that's
get it
true.
Resolved.
They can defer you. They can make it difficult for you.
But just to show what all of this technology is where it's taking us, it's unbelievable.
1984,
hey, only
a little bit
yes.
later.
Wait, so, Don, you want to say something?
Yeah, David. What you guys are talking about is analytics. I can make a purchase for a client, and I can get the right demographics, male, female, age demographics, and the things that you like and the things that you frequent on your phone or in your social media platform, and make the purchase for that client based upon the analytics that you have already displayed in your habit of using your device. And what I do is I sell that information to the client, and they use it over a couple of months or so, and it's already received great results. On every client, we also pull the analytics and include that in the proposal.
How do you pull the analytics of anyone?
You get that from the social media platforms and also from the emails and websites that you frequent.
So if you don't know a person, so for example, you could pull up where Bruce has gone by just knowing Bruce on social media?
By pulling up the analytics that he uses, by the analytics, like for example, say if he's on Facebook a lot, if he's on Twitter, Instagram, or any of the LinkedIn or any of the social media platforms. Okay, let me give an example. Say if he made a purchase of some shoes through one of the platforms, then you can expect a lot of clothing, shoes, things of that nature to have your number, and they will market towards you.
Yes, but my question is, how do you, as a business owner, pull up the analytics for someone who's just a client?
Well, the thing is, they've got to frequent that platform. They've got to been on that platform.
Oh, so you ask the client, do they have a Facebook account or Twitter account or some account, then you know to look in that, to go to Facebook and ask for the analytics. Is that a fee for doing that?
No, it's not.
Hey,
a
by
fee.
The way, David, the phone will tell you. The phone will tell you if they're on. I can tell if you're on, when you're on, and I can find out anybody that's on any of those sources, okay, because you can go to the source and it'll tell you. My phone book, once I log in your telephone number and your name in my phone, it will tell me pretty much where you are. It'll eventually come back to me and say, hey, David's on such and such. Do you want to connect?
That's right. That's right.
But Don and Frank, is that only going to tell you where David is visiting the platforms or where he physically is going?
He's on. He's on board. He's actually operating right now. He's not asleep. He's actually, if he's on those social media platforms and I'm connected to those social media, I get a signal that he's doing whatever. He's sending out tweets, you know, et cetera. Okay.
Right.
He's on Facebook right there, or he's playing, like I play Words with Friends, for instance. Anybody that plays Words with Friends that's in my thing, there's a green light that comes on that tells me they're on Words with Friends. Anytime they're posting on one of those social media networks, I get a text sent to my phone that says somebody in my telephone book, it specifies who the individual is, and says they're on whatever platform.
Exactly.
All right.
Another problem is a lot of people, like if you wanted to advertise your business on Facebook, people nowadays are just giving out too much information. And so, like, I can dial in and exactly, if I want to place an ad, I can go in and I can tell it, I want specifically only the people that live in this zip code, specifically only the people that read this magazine. And I can target my market way better doing that than spending money on the yellow pages back in the day.
That's exactly right, John.
There is.
Are we slowly, bit by bit, giving up our privacy and for convenience? Is that what we're really doing?
Before I answer that, I wanted to mention one other thing. Anytime you download one of those free softwares, you're allowing those analytics then at that point to take over if you load it on your system or your phone or whatever. Yeah.
True.
And so, the bottom line is if you don't pay for something privately, then you're allowing access, okay? And that's what Alexa is doing. Alexa, when you bring Alexa into your house, you're actually bringing in your big brother, okay?
Yeah. So it feels like.
I wanted to say this earlier, but there was a friend who got a Alexa for Christmas, and he uh, face FaceTime me to show me something about the Alexa. When we were on there, he asked Alexa, would you ever lie to me? And Alexa said, no, I'm supposed to be your service. I would never lie to you. And he said, well, will you always tell me the truth? And the machine said, yes, I will always tell you the truth. So then he said, well, tell me, do you know what the FBI is? And of course, Alexa said, that's the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And then he asked it, well, do you know what the CIA is? And so Alexa said, yes, Central Intelligence. And then he said, Alexa, are you connected to the CIA? The thing blinked 3 times and shut down.
She didn't lie to him.
She didn't lie, but I can't wait to go to somebody's house, got one, just to try that,
man.
To see if that worked.
She's lucky it didn't blow up like Maxwell Smart's shoe.
I know.
Just to know that we still hold a little bit of an edge, gentlemen, that story I started with, the guy's a baseball, minor league baseball player, used to be, took it outside, tossed it up in the air, and hit a home run. That's what he did with it. That's what he did with his.
Wow. You know, I recently, about a week ago, filled out one of those Ancestry.com. This was actually 23andMe trying to find my family and where it all came from. And before you submit this thing, you have to register your kit. So I go online to register the kit, and I halfway get there, and this kit then takes me into questions about 30 minutes sitting there answering questions about every detail about you, your family, your mother, your father. Did they ever have this? Did they ever have that? Where were they born? Did they have this disease or that disease? I quit answering the questions because it was just too much information that they were asking. And I'm thinking, why are they asking all this information about find my background? And I realized they're probably selling all that information to some organizations out there, but if you go to one of these ancestry.com kind of things, you're going to get that. And you can bypass all those questions by just saying, don't want an answer down the thing. But it's very detailed. And I couldn't believe the kind of questions they were asking, like, did your father have headaches? Like, wow. I don't know.
Well, David, you know what it is? Here's what it is, David. Social media has become such an influence in our lifestyle, in our buying habits, in our marketing strategy. It's the same as measuring radio and television with Nielsen and Arbitron. They're picking up data and analytics on how to market to you, and we're giving them the information free of charge. And the thing is, this is how they're going to be able to monetize social media.
Right. Well, okay. I want to move on a little bit. There has been a lot going on, but let me do a couple of things because I know right now Donald Trump Jr. is furious because NBC just sent out that they would endorse Oprah Winfrey for president. Oh, okay. Tell me, Don, what do you think about Oprah Winfrey for president?
I think it would be great to have Oprah president. She's very sensitive. She understands human beings. She is a self-made person. She certainly has the money. She has everything that 45 has, and she has compassion for people. Now, in reality, I don't think she's going to run because, man, she's got such a wonderful platform right now. And I'd love to see her run, but I just don't feel that she wants that headache. She's living a beautiful life right now, but, man, I think that she would make an awesome president. The first woman president, Oprah Winfrey. Oh my God, that would be so awesome.
I don't agree. I'm off of people on television becoming our president anymore. But that's just my opinion. What do you think, Ron?
I have mixed feelings. I mean, I think it would be. Well, first of all, she said that she's not going to run, but you know, whatever that means, take that with a grain of salt. But I think it would be awesome to be able to say that, like Don just said, that the first woman president is Oprah Winfrey, just, you know, because of who she is and what she's done with her life, you know, rising up the ranks from basically nothing to one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful women in the world. But, you know, I also have doubts about, you know, in term, I think we're getting away from the traditional credentials that presidents used to have, you know, in terms of law degrees and, you know, varied studied persons. And I'm not saying that she's not, you know, she's probably one of the most brilliant persons around. But I don't know what I guess I really don't know what degree she has or what degrees she has. But, you know, she is a TV personality. And just like, you know, I would be against, for example, Arnold Schwarzenegger running for president. And, you know, I think I agree more with you, David, on that.
But you know, if I may add an addendum to what I just said, you know, we've been stuck on traditional stereotypes of what it takes to be a president. And the stereotype has been broken with 45. So what I'm saying is, let's take it a little deeper and add term limits. I had this conversation with Bruce. Why don't we just put term limits on these characters and not let them be lifelong politicians where it's a convenient occupation? That's the problem.
Well, and Don and I had this conversation for about a half hour after our show last week, and he and I both agreed. I'd like to hear the point of view of some of our panelists. You can debate about or decide differently on the length of term, but a no re-election, make your mark, go home, and not start running again the moment you get elected the first time. And even defending the position, but, oh, we'd lose all this experience. Yes, but you know what? I'm willing to take that risk based on where a lot of that experience on an overall basis has gotten us into right now. What do you guys think?
Yeah, but after 4 years, I mean, I think it takes more than 4 years to really make your mark and, you know, really change the course of an entire country. So I'm not opposed to a president being able to run a second term, personally.
Well, but maybe we decide, Ron, that the presidency has a certain number of years, a senator has a certain whatever. It doesn't necessarily have to be what it is right now or that it couldn't change. But you get one shot and then you have to leave, and maybe even it's a situation where you can come back, but you have to leave. I would tend to force, I think, a number of them, hopefully more than less, to do something positive, make their marks, quote unquote, and then go back to where they were before, whether it be business or whatever the case may be.
All right, Dylan. I would like to go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I grew up in one of the states I grew up in. Pat Brown was the governor, it seemed like my whole entire childhood. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia, where I live now, a governor can only serve for one term. So I would propose that we leave the system as it is with senators and congressmen, because I work with people, and it's too overwhelming for them to do a professionally good job if they don't have any experience in doing the job. Then you've got people willy-nilly, in my opinion. And so we've got to, you know, one of the things our society should do, in my opinion, is we should value experience and education, or, you know, in whatever order you want. Experience and education, in my opinion, is important.
All right. I want to move on because the White House released some statements, and one of them was that the White House says that America just has not noticed or appreciated Trump's great first-year accomplishments. And on the phone, one of our callers is going to tackle that. His name is Darius. Darius, you're going to tell us accomplishments by President Trump during his first year?
Wow. Yeah, I can try to list some of them. Okay. I think the first accomplishment started before he even got in office, when he got these companies like Caterpillar and a couple other auto companies to say that they would be building their – our carrier to be building their plants here in America, when they had plans on moving their plants overseas. Also, the jobs that he's created. I think I mentioned last week about the GDP growth being over 3%, back to where we were before, or better. He's also cut back the regulations that has allowed our oil and gas research to expand. He's opened up the pipelines. He's taken care of the – got rid of the NAFTA, the trade agreements, got the Supreme Court justice in. The unemployment rate is at an all-time low. Food stamp recipients are the lowest they've been in history, from what I understand, since they implemented the program. Black unemployment rate, this is something that a lot of black people don't know. Black unemployment rate is at the lowest it's been in over 70 years. So those are just a few things, and I'm sure there are others. It's just, you know, I wasn't prepared for that question. But, yeah, I think if we can kind of ignore the dumb statements and the rhetoric and just look at statistically how he's doing as a president, his first year has been phenomenal.
All right. So you want to tackle that one, Don?
Yes, I do. And the caller spoke very eloquently, and I agree with what he is speaking about thus far, but it was already started by President Barack Obama pulling us out of 8 years of hellhole the past 8 years, and he started the things that he's talking about. Black unemployment was on its decline with President Barack Obama, and Donald Trump has picked up off the residue of what President Obama has already started with, even NAFTA. We knew that NAFTA was a problem. It needed to be tweaked. It needed to be fixed, and he has moved towards fixing it. Healthcare, he doesn't need to do away with it. We need to fix it. So Donald Trump has picked up off of the magnificent job that President Barack Obama started, getting us out of two wars, fixing the automotive industry, fixing the housing industry, fixing this country, because we were in a terrible situation 8 years ago. So he's only been in power for a year. Let's wait until 3 years, and then we'll get a good picture of his accomplishments. If he makes it.
Can I just ask what policies he implemented to turn these things around after he was in there for 8 years?
Well, just take a look at your business. The business you're in, John, you're in Michigan, and Michigan's automotive industry was headed towards bankruptcy. Ford, Chrysler, General Motors, they were ready to go out of business in Michigan. That would have been a travesty.
But they were also forced to take that money. And by taking that money, they were also GM. And I can tell you, because I am a Pontiac fanatic, I have three Pontiacs in my garage right now. And when they were told to go into bankruptcy, the government came in and told them that they had to downsize their entire companies, and they got rid of Pontiac, and they got rid of Oldsmobile. So, you know, things weren't – I mean, a lot of people lost their jobs in the GM bankruptcy, and same thing with Chrysler Fiat. They had to be sold from Daimler. So, you know, in honest reality, everybody here in Michigan believes the best thing that could have happened to those companies was for them to go bankrupt, clear their books, and start from scratch. I mean, they're still – I have friends who lost their dealerships – Chevrolet dealerships, Pontiac dealerships, because the government came in and basically told GM how to run their business, and it cost a lot of people. Now, luckily, my business isn't 100% reliant on the automotive industry. I mean, I do bankers, surgeons, attorneys, doctors, accountants, business owners.
John, you're talking about a brand. You're talking about one specific brand. I'm talking about the industry as a whole, automotive industry. We own that industry 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. We own that industry. But if you take a look at what I'm seeing down here after going to school, financed college, raised by the automotive industry coming from Michigan, I see very few American-made cars or vehicles down here. The foreign industry had basically taken over and was about to really monopolize on that industry prior to President Obama. So,
but what did he do to change it? I mean, you have cars, you know, we have cars being sent out of the country here that pay a very high tariff to end up in Japan and China, but yet they were able to send their cars here at very low cost and low taxes. And so there was, I mean, you have a big, huge trade imbalance just in the cost of the cars being taxed coming in and out of the country. Now, you know, we've got Mazda here is building, what, a new factory, $1 billion down in Alabama. And we've got now Fiat has pledged $1 billion now to bring a plant from Mexico in here to Sterling Heights or Warren. So, you know, a lot of these, the thing you also have to remember is a lot of these cars, you know, there's these manufacturers now, the smaller ones like the Ferraris, like the Jaguars, most of those now are also owned by, you know, American companies. And so when you say you've got, you know, the automotive industry was going to die, you have American workers. I mean, I believe me, my dad worked for GM, so you're not going to see a foreign car in my driveway. I don't care if the Mazda is made in Flat Rock, you know, next door to the Mustang plant. But the fact is they are hiring U.S. employees and workers, and most of those cars, yeah, they're sold here. I mean, I've got rims on my Firebird that say, you know, made in Mexico. I've got my Corvette's got parts, you know, made someplace else. So, yeah, unfortunately, that's what happened is because it was so costly for these smaller companies, because GM doesn't make a light bulb for their cars. They have to outsource that. It's cheaper for them to outsource it. So you've got these smaller companies who are being priced out because of the taxes, the business tax being at 30%. They couldn't compete with a company. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I've got I picked up a handlebar mount for one of my GPS cameras for my snowmobile. It was cheaper to send a $9 part, have it made in China, and sent here 3 weeks on a ship to get to my house. And you're telling me a U.S. company can't make that product cheaper locally here? And so that's why I'm saying, what policies did he do? I mean, did he lower the business tax and now made it more affordable for these companies to start doing business back in the States? No, he didn't. So that's what I'm saying. I don't understand what Obama did to right away raise consumer confidence to bring these companies back that, like I said, I just mentioned $2 billion, you know, coming back in automotive, Mazda and Chrysler. So I'm a little confused as to why it took him 8 years to finally decide, you know, what he did didn't work the first seven. So what changed?
Well, you know, you're rambling, John. You mentioned so many things, I almost forgot what you said. But listen, you're talking about two different industries. You're talking about manufacturing, and you mentioned unions. See, unions were very dominant in
I didn't say anything about unions. I didn't say anything about unions. Most of the foreign plants, they're not union employees.
Why do you think those prices were so high? Because the influence of unions. Unions had negotiated higher prices. That's why unions aren't as dominant as they were in mid-Michigan or in the country as they were back in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. That's why the unions.
But the unions vote Democrat, so see, I'm not a union person either. I don't belong to the union employer or union electricians. I don't belong to any of that. I don't believe somebody should negotiate my wages and what I can make in a day. Okay, so I'm not union either, but I'm just saying, it's, you know, what changed? If did Obama get rid of the unions? Did he? I help me understand.
The question was about the current president we have. That was the question that David posed.
Yes.
So I think we got off on a tangent that was not a original question, and I wanted to answer the original speaker's questions or thought processes that he indicated, because I remember last week we talked about the GNP, and I just wanted to tell you that in 2015 the GNP was 3.7, and 2016 for the whole year.
It wasn't. I looked it up myself. Obama only had 8.
Exactly.
He hit 3% per quarter 8 times in 8 years. It's 25%. 8 out of 32 quarters.
It's on the website. I have it right in front of me on my computer.
I was on Forbes, New York Post, U.S. News World Report, Fortune Magazine. Those are 5 sources that says he never hit 3% in a year.
Let me tell you what it says, okay? And this is the numbers, 18,569.1 billion, okay? That was one number. It was a difference. The difference in the 2015 and 2016 is $643.5 billion, okay? That was the difference. So the increase for 2015 over the prior year, and that's where you probably don't understand. It's 2015 in comparison to 2014, 3.7. 2016 in comparison to 2015 is 3.0. That's on the website, okay? And it's I'm telling you, if you just listen and stop getting so excited, it's Well, you are. If you're not listening to me, you are. Okay? www.dea.gov. Okay? Help yourself. You'll find it. All right. Now, let me go to some other items that I wanted to bring up the speaker talked about.
I'm sorry. Every major indication, even the U.S. Commerce Department, says that Obama's the only president in history that never had 3% GDP growth in a year. Only
hey, I'm giving you the web. Go to the website, and I have it on my computer right in front of me right now. I did the research on it because I knew this was. So let's go to the next topic, okay? Let's go to the next topic is Carrier, okay? Carrier has laid off 300 people. They sent out notices last week saying they're laying off 300 people. All right. So that was one of the things that we paid them, where they were given money by the state of Indiana to do, et cetera, but they're not. They're actually going to close down the shop and do that, okay? Oil and gas, all right? All the states are now there's the only state that I know of that would like to have oil and gas drilled off their coast is Maine, all right? Florida said no, and the president agreed with that, so they're not going after that. The rest of the states are going to go after the federal government. Because no one wants this dirty beaches, oily beaches, and there's no trust for the oil companies as far as okay? Open pipelines, all right? Open pipelines leak fuel, and there are a number of us in the United States, me included, who are against having these pipelines, particularly going across Native American land, particularly in the Commonwealth of Virginia, okay? So the Sierra Club people are against these type of things. I think that we're taking advantage of our country and we're not going to repair the damage, because the history has been that the companies make their money and then they reorganize themselves and leave the shell company who doesn't do anything for the polluted items and the destruction that's been there, okay? So looking at this website that I just spoke of, if you look, it will show you where the increases were for 2015 versus 2016. If you look at one of them, particularly in mining, you'll find out that there's very, very tiny increase. So mining hasn't been doing anything, for instance, and it's not likely to do. So there's a whole list of things if you can go down there and look at it. So one of the persons you mentioned is you got rid of NAFTA. Now, let me just say this right here. My understanding of NAFTA was that what's going to happen, it's going to be a bad fallout because what's going to happen, Canada and Mexico are going to get together and leave the United States out of the deal, all right, and probably they will join up with China. So we're losing our authority in the Pacific Basin, which is one of the reasons we went into some of these deals, so we would have authority to be able to control the possibility of not having another war. So China is really replacing us in the Pacific and in the continental part of Americas. There is a problem because we're not going to come to an agreement. They're not going to agree to the United States to be taken advantage of these other countries. And the purpose of NAFTA was to put the manufacturing in those countries that only had the ability to provide those type of products and goods. We should not be making bow ties and neckties and baseball hats, okay? We should be doing performing at a higher level. Our people should be educated and performing at a higher level. We're not, okay? And lastly, this NAFTA, this Mazda and the Fiat plants, those are promises. Year 2021 is when those plants are supposed to be done by those particular corporations, okay? Now, for me, I don't trust the corporations. I don't think the corporations are patriotic, and I think that we've been taken advantage of as citizens to subsidize their businesses.
That's but you do realize that the new models for most of these vehicles are already – the 20 and 21s are already being designed, and the claim models have already come out. So, you know,
I don't care anything about the models. I care about reality. When the plant gets built, then I will give it praise and hosannas. When the employees get hired at a decent, fair, working, livable wage, I will give it hosannas and praise. Right now, for instance, Walmart closed 63 – plus stores after the new tax plan came out. All right.
Right. Exactly. So that had been in place for 3 years prior. Walmart had already announced they were going to close those stores 3 years ago.
Well, they closed them. Okay. That's my point is that I don't, the carrier did the same thing. All right. I think most of these corporations will take advantage of the United States. That's the reason why also I don't agree with having short-term limits for politicians, because I think these guys are scoundrels. And I think that they're in there to take advantage of the human being, for the purpose of their people that are invested in them. All right, it's sort of.
So we should let them stay there and then for a career.
I think no, whatever time the law permits, forever if they want, as long as they can get reelected. That's the system we set up. The system is you go out and you run for election forever until you drop dead. And as long as you win, you're in there. If you don't. We turned out a lot of people in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We turned out a lot of people who just happened to be Republicans. I expect there's going to be additional numbers of people from the other political party. Again, I am not a Democrat and I am not a Republican. I'm not a Republican because of the language which we mentioned in this conversation. I can't get over the language. I'm not going to get over the language, okay? If you call me an N-word, you're not going to be my friend, okay? That's just not going to happen, okay? And I'm not. You can't create good from evil. Okay.
Well, let me ask you something. Were you offended when all the women dressed with the pink pussy hats and all that stuff yelling F Trump? I mean, did that offend you?
I was offended when the candidate Donald Trump rode down the escalator and started talking about Hispanics, because I knew that if he was talking about Hispanics, he'd be talking about me. All right.
But you weren't offended for the women with the F Trump and that.
When the women wore those hats. When the woman wore those hats, that was a direct protest of him grabbing their pussies, okay? That's
okay.
What he said, okay? That's
okay.
What
he
they
said
were doing.
It's never been proven he did it. And then I'm kind of I'm interested in where's the support of all of these pink hat-wearing ladies to all the women in Iraq right now when they're trying to, you know, change what's going on over there? I don't see any support for them on the news or anything. I mean, if this is a women's issue, aren't women around the entire world, aren't they all women?
What's the issue going on in Iraq? Why don't you go ahead and enlighten us?
You don't have any idea what's going on in Iraq right now with the protests and everything else with the government?
I'm asking you so that you'll clarify what your perception is going on in Iraq. Okay, I know a lot about Iraq, but I want you to...
Okay, so you've got protests of the government because now they have low employment. The government wants to spend more on military, and you've got women out there protesting, not wanting to wear the burqa, thrown in jail. And you know, we don't have an issue with that.
Well, let me just say this right here. I'm not aware that women in Iraq do not want to wear the burqa. I'm aware of that certain other Muslim countries, the women do not want to wear the burqa, but I'm not aware of that in Iraq, okay?
There was a beautiful video of the girl getting arrested.
Let me say this right here. I think women are overall mistreated and poorly dealt with, all right? And I think there's going to be a reckoning of that that's going to be in place and happening in the next few years, all right? That's my thought process. I think women are, you know, they suffer.
Can I make a statement?
All right. I want to make a statement, but go ahead, Darius. What do you want to say?
Thank you. I just wanted to get back to what the main point was when we were talking about Trump's accomplishments, and I think it was Bruce that mentioned Walmart.
It was Frank that mentioned Walmart.
Okay, I'm sorry. What he failed to mention about Walmart, though, is, yeah, they did close some Sam's stores, but after the tax break, Walmart raised their minimum wage to $11 an hour. Walmart.
They did that while Barack Obama was president.
No,
by the way.
They just announced this after the tax break. That was not true. And they also, Walmart also is giving $1,000 bonuses to all of their mid-level managers,
averaging $190 per head if you've been there for over 20 years. $190 per person if you've been there for over 20 years.
Whatever it is, they're doing it as a result. Then you have to think about Fifth Third Bank, Wells Fargo Bank, AT&T. You have all these guys that came out directly after he announced this, saying that they were going to give incentives, bonuses, raises to their employees. Fifth Third, Wells Fargo,
Laid off 8,000 people 6 months ago. They laid off 8,000 people. Wells Fargo.
I'm talking about after he announced his tax breaks.
They laid off 8,000 people.
They were crooks.
They stole the people's information, created false accounts. As a result of that, 8,000 people lost their jobs.
I'm talking about what
they took the money out of their right pocket and put it in their left pocket.
I'm talking about what they did after he announced his tax break. I'm not talking about what happened prior to that.
They can't make up for that. They got sued by the federal government. They got sued by the federal government because they bought into – okay. They got sued. Let me tell you, Wells Fargo's on the bad boys list, okay? They were involved in the downfall of the housing industry. All right, Wells Fargo was involved in the downfall of that industry. And Wells Fargo had to change their name. They used to be Wachovia, and before they were Wachovia, they were somebody else. And that's because they got a bad name, because they screwed a lot of people.
All right,
and I know that because I'm in the housing industry.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Okay. We only have like 2 minutes left, and I want to thank the caller and thank this conversation that was going on good, but there's something that I got a lot of text about, and I want to have this 1-2 minute conversation with everyone about it. And the question that I got was this ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. The people got the notice, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii, seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. So I got a lot of questions on discussion, how that happened, and what isn't anybody in control of these kind of messages going out to the states? I don't know how that happened, because I've been trying to background or to find out what happened. Anybody know how that happened? And can you imagine waking up, seeing that, and there are people jumping in bathtubs and going in their basements and to save themselves in Hawaii? And I don't think the government has told us this won't happen again. What about you?
Yeah, they did. They put kids in manholes, and the reason why it happened, because the state of Hawaii has a watch, they test every watch, and if somebody turned the wrong button the wrong way, and the governor came on and mentioned that, but it did significant damage to the psyche of a lot of people, because people were running, people were coming out of the water, and it basically, the criticism is the president was on the golf course. And they said this is not a test, by the way. But it happened at the state level, so they're no longer going to run that test that way.
Right.
Okay, they're going to have two people. They're going to have two people now at the controls, because the guy turned the knob the wrong way, and they tested at every watch, every time they have a turnover, they have a test this alarm, but it's supposed to be the test part of it. They didn't do the test part. They did the actual part.
All right. Well, we want to thank everyone.
So everybody's wired up now.
Okay. Today on January 14th, we're here every week at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for all of you around the world and in the States. We thank you for listening. Very invigorating, good speech. We want to thank Darius, who I'm going to try to hire to be part of the team from now on. So, like I say, goodbye to the panel.
I mean, you guys are getting paid?
Pardon me?
Yeah. I said, you guys are getting paid?
Send me some of that
Where's
money?
My check?
Send me some of that money.
Everybody have a good week.
I have a dream. I have a dream.
Yeah.
I have a dream.
Yeah. Sure, we all do.